This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The Driftless region is known for its geography, with deep river valleys and towering bluffs. Local governments and private organizations alike have worked for years to preserve these unique blufflands, at times partnering together. But for the first time, local governments are working with the Mississippi Valley Conservancy and the Outdoor Recreation Alliance to develop a long-term plan to protect the area's bluffs, including both sides of the river. Joining us today to talk about this new regional approach to bluffland protection are Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and La Crosse County Planner, Charlie Handy. Carol, could you start out by telling us a little bit about what the Mississippi Valley Conservancy does?
We are a land trust. We cover 9 counties basically along the Mississippi River here in southwest Wisconsin. And our goal, our mission is to conserve land for people today, for fun, recreation, for hunting, fishing, farming, and then also for people in the future who will be able to enjoy those properties undeveloped.
And your organization has worked on a few different bluffland projects in the past, correct?
Yes, we have worked with both the City of La Crosse and the City of Onalaska to preserve some of the bluffs that have been conserved to date.
What specific entities are part of the current coalition that's taking more of a regional approach?
We have representatives on the steering committee from Winona County, Houston County in Minnesota, La Crosse County in Wisconsin, and a number of the different municipalities like the Town of Madary, City of La Crosse, City of Onalaska, of course the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and the Outdoor Recreation Alliance.
What are all the specific roles of the of those entities?
That'll probably be determined as we start drafting the document, the long-range plan. To have them on the steering committee is just a huge benefit because of the history, the amount of work that all of these different organizations have done, and the amount of passion that they bring to the table. Each organization has a different level of interest in a different specific ideal or project, and that really gets us moving along in our meetings.
And Charlie, why is it important to have a regional approach to bluffland protection?
Well, I think if you talk to just about anybody when they're enjoying these areas, they don't really look at the boundaries, the municipal limits, the things like that. I mean, especially if you talk to wildlife or trees or anything, they don't care where those boundaries lie. But it's also important to try to connect the system together instead of having just limited pieces in each different municipality. So a regional approach will really help us move to that next level, connect the system together, and hopefully we can leverage more assets where we can get more work done.
And so this coalition actually formed back in 2013, correct? What's been kind of going on since then, up until now?
The real key project that we've been working on since 2013 is assembling the funding stream to pay for this study. So we have a consultant hired that's going to help us to take us through this process, and that's going to cost some money. So we assembled a small amount from a number of different budget streams to help pay for the study.
So what have been the costs associated with doing this study and hiring this consultant?
Well, this study is estimated to be around $90,000. To do this work and to come up with this comprehensive plan.
I guess this money is coming from a number of different budget areas. Could you give us a few examples of that, I guess?
Sure. The La Crosse Area Planning Committee is paying for about half of it. And then all of the different municipalities that make up the LAPC are paying a portion of it based on a ratio that they pay in for LAPC. And so the City of La Crosse obviously has the biggest portion of that. Second comes the City of Onalaska, et cetera, on the way down. So you divide that $90,000 up by half and then divide the $45,000 up by all those little chunks, and it gets to be fairly small for some of the communities.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same applies to the communities in Minnesota as well?
We have not had financial support from the communities in Minnesota at this point, but we plan to for implementation efforts in the future.
What inspired this group to come together originally? Was this kind of an ongoing conversation, or was there a specific unifying event?
My short history with Mississippi Valley Conservancy, preserving the bluffs was one of the first undertakings that the Conservancy had when they formed in 1997. That became a priority area for them. And so having worked with the municipalities in the past to preserve the bluffs, I know that's where our interest lies in it, just being able to continue to do that good work.
I think any good event sometimes comes out of a little tension or stress. With 2013, there was some concern about activities and other things that were going on in the Blufflands, and especially based on the funding streams that were used up to that point to do preservation, some of the activities that were happening weren't in line with what those preservation monies required. And so there came a bit of tension between a few of the different organizations. And so 2013 was really kind of that concern created this kind of unifying event.
And Charlie, as a county official, you know, why is it beneficial for La Crosse County, for example, to participate in a regional approach rather than kind of focusing on specific projects by themselves?
If you look at the role that La Crosse County and the La Crosse Area Planning Committee can bring to the table, we have a number of these local leaders as part of our organizations. At the county, we have a different membership on the county board, and at the LAPC, their board is made up of all chief elected officials in this area. So it's kind of a natural to get this type of information to those chief elected officials quickly through that La Crosse Area Planning Committee. You know, we can gather their input, gain their support, and move forward with a lot more projects than if we were just doing it, you know, as one entity.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about new regional efforts to protect our area's bluffs. We're here with La Crosse County Planner Charlie Handy and Executive Director Carol Abrahamson from Mississippi Valley Conservancy. And so you said in the past the goal is to create a national park-like system. Tell me a little bit about what that might look like.
Well, hopefully it looks very similar to what it looks like now. I mean, that's the goal. The project will obviously flush out some more ideas and to help with that. As far as I think the goals as we move forward in drafting this document will be to preserve these areas from development so that they're there for recreation or for habitat or for preservation. And those goals will, you know, we don't know which way we're going to fall as far as priorities. All of those things will be part of the plan, obviously, higher or lower priority. I think hopefully it looks as it does now, but there's more activities. One of the things that we found in our public participation activities to this point is those recreational facilities that are out there now are overused. Now, that's a good and a bad thing. There's positives and negatives that come with it. Obviously, we know that there's a lot of people using it and that there's a real need for it and the public wants it. So how do we make it so that it doesn't get overused and we damage what we love? And the way to do that is to really spread it out and create more opportunities, more access, more activities, and take the pressure off the areas that are being overused. So I think how it looks in the future is just more of the same.
The trails that are in place now can take quite a beating at certain times of the year. And we do want to conserve for habitat. It's really important. This is such a unique area, and therefore we have a lot of unique habitats that aren't available in other parts of the state. And also just remembering the importance of the Mississippi River and it being a migratory flyway for birds. So we also have to have a resting stop for those birds available.
And Carol, why is a master plan for the region important? You know, why is a set of guidelines, I guess, important to have throughout the region?
It brings everybody together, gets everybody on the same page. We can look at priorities together and make the best plan with the bluffs that is possible. If we don't have a master plan, it could be that one entity is looking at one area and another at another area, and we're never going to be on the same page and bring it all together. So I'm really excited that we are all working together. I think it'll be a great plan.
And so what are some of the, I guess, specific topics or specific areas that you guys are going to be looking at?
We'll differentiate between different activities. Obviously, some of the things that have been talked about in the past, the difference between a walking trail versus a cross-country ski trail, hiking, horseback riding, bicycling. But then you get into some of the more traditional recreational activities for Wisconsin with hunting and fishing. Bird watching is very popular. The ability to get out into this habitat and view the wildlife is very important to many, many people. So differentiating between a lot of those different activities and providing more of those activities, I think, will be a big part of what we talk about. But I think there's also going to be areas that we just say, hey, this area is way too sensitive. We need to just stay out of here and preserve it for the future so that that area can, you know, continue to develop and or continue to grow as a place for habitat.
That's Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, here with us today to talk about a new comprehensive approach to bluffland protection. Also joining us in studio is Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. I know, Charlie, you said that, you know, we're looking for more of the same, more of what we've already been doing. So does this represent a change in the way that the different organizations are approaching bluffland protection?
I think so. Not a huge change, just a little bit more focused. We have the ability to work together. Once we sit down at a table, this steering committee really starts to see that we all have a very, very similar approach to this. Some might have a little bit different emphasis or focus. Priorities might be a little different but between groups, but we're all really looking at the same stuff. And if we can look at it together, there's so much passion in the people that we've talked to so far about this that if we can have a comprehensive approach, a comprehensive plan of going about what we're going to do over the next 15, 20 years, I think it brings that much more energy to the table. You know, if somebody's willing to go out and volunteer to help build a trail, but there's not a good plan, you know, and that trail just kind of, it's great that first year, but the second year, third year, whatever, it may not get as much use or it may not fit into the system as well. Well, if there's a comprehensive plan and they see how it fits into the system in the plan, they're going to have that much more energy to go out and help build that project.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that we're all looking for is to make sure that this plan is going to be relevant to all of the communities that are involved, because we do want everybody to feel like they've been engaged in the process. And that's been part of the planning in this, is just bringing people together to hear what their thoughts are and what their wishes are for the plan.
You know, have there been any challenges working with our neighbors across the river?
No.
It's always a wide river, always a broad river. One of the things that you heard today is the MVC has 9 counties, but all of those counties are in this side. And so, but Southwest Minnesota has a land trust, and we'll work with them also. They'll have different personalities and different priorities. But once you have a comprehensive plan like this in place, it just makes it so much easier to work with the different entities.
Do you feel like that separation has prevented previous projects from being able to span the river?
Well, I don't think we ever tried. I think that's part of the problem, is we've never tried to do it together. And so does it, I don't know that it's prevented anything. It just hasn't started.
Yeah, I think what we have now is really a shared vision on both sides of the river to keep the bluffs undeveloped. I know that the Minnesota Land Trust is very interested in working in southeast Minnesota. So to have this plan and to bring to life what the needs are, what the wants are of the communities around here, it'll really engage the Minnesota Land Trust along with Mississippi Valley Conservancy.
I think the other point to make there is Winona County has a significant amount of experience on the legislative side of this. The county, Winona County, has a bluffland protection ordinance in place. And their staff is a great resource. They're on the steering committee, and they help us to think about, should we be doing that here in Wisconsin? And that's going to be another discussion as we move forward on the plan.
We've been talking with Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, about a new regional coalition to preserve the Driftless Region's bluffs. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation with Charlie and Carol about how the coalition hopes to balance preservation with public use of these unique blufflands. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to the Coalition's Bluffland Protection Plan survey. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking with Executive Director Carol Abrahamson of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy and La Crosse County Planner Charlie Handy about a new effort by local governments and nonprofit organizations to develop a master plan for bluffland protection. While area governments and conservation organizations have worked together in the past, this is the first time that representatives from both sides of the Mississippi have come together to plan for the future of the Driftless Region's well-known bluffs. Your group wants to find the best potential uses for these blufflands. So how do you hope to evaluate that?
The big key to that is public input, to gather that public input, and then to look at data. We'll look at some scientific data and things like that as the steering committee moves forward. Our consulting firm has some expertise in these areas, and they can bring that data to the table to show us what some of those answers might be. And at that point, then we'll start evaluating.
You know, you created an online survey and hosted a public meeting recently for people to talk about, you know, what they want to see happen with these blufflands. Did you get a lot of public feedback?
Yeah, actually, the turnout was excellent, and we broke down into a number of groups where people were able to give good feedback, plus the online survey. I believe the numbers have been quite high with the response to that, right, Charlie?
That's correct. We had over 600 responses in less than a week.
Wow, that's a lot of public response. Why do you think so many people want to have their voice heard on this issue?
Well, I think there's been some controversy at times, and there's a lot of passion in the groups, and the different groups have different perspectives and focuses, so it really kind of creates a situation where people want to be heard, and that's wonderful, because we don't always get that.
What about this region makes people so passionate?
I think its uniqueness and its beauty. If you travel over into Minnesota, very far west or further east into Wisconsin, you don't see the kind of topography that we have here and the wildlife that we have here, the unique microclimates. It is just truly a unique and beautiful area, and the people here appreciate that. They don't take it for granted.
I think there's so much diversity that it appeals to such a wide variety and range of people, whether they're high-performing cyclists or hardcore climbers, or people that aren't in as good a fitness level or shape like myself that just want to get out and walk in the nature. It really is such a diverse area.
And so, returning back to this public meeting and this survey, what have been some of the biggest takeaways for you guys?
I think one of the keys moving forward is that we be a little bit more transparent and a little bit more open about what that plan is going to be. And then when we do make some decisions, set some priorities, and actually start doing work, that we have an opportunity to get that information out to the public as much as possible. Maybe sometimes in the past that information hasn't been as readily available, which creates some offense at times and creates some tension. So just to be open and honest and make sure we try to get that information out, what we're doing.
What have been some of the biggest public concerns?
I think the biggest concern is where there are activities that don't work well together, that we make sure and separate those activities. And where there are activities that we can duplicate or we can cooperate on, you know, then we work very hard on those. But some things just don't work well together. And habitat protection and high intensity trails probably don't work well together. They probably should be in different locations. But maybe lower intensity trails in those areas or overlooks, boardwalks, things like that, you know. Some of the most interesting conversations that we've had, are, at least for me, were people that get out there and do a lot of work on the trails, even some safety work with chainsaws and the health of the trees and things like that. Well, if you're running a chainsaw in the middle of the woods around trails, you kind of expect that people don't walk on those trails, but you can't just assume that. And some people, they hear the chainsaw, but it doesn't really register that something's going on. And there's some pretty funny stories about close calls. Thank goodness they're close calls. But all of those conversations inform what we're doing. And, okay, so we've got to have some more safety measures. We've got to have some more bright orange cones or things like that to let people know, hey, don't go through here right now. We're working on it. Or the season really says we shouldn't be on this trail. So if we're on the trail, we're just doing damage to it. So go find a different spot. That would be wonderful. You know, those type of things, those little vernacular stories are really interesting.
That's Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, here with us today to talk about a new comprehensive approach to bluffland protection. Also joining us in studio is Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So now that you've gotten public comment, you know, when do you hope to complete this master plan?
Well, it looks like we'll have another steering committee meeting early in 2016. And that'll focus on an August completion timeframe for the planning process. Obviously, that's just the start of it. But that would be something for the public to look for, is documents to come out in probably April or May, where they can have some comment on something that's drafted. And then the final documents to come out after those comments in probably August.
And you mentioned that you guys are bringing in a consultant, correct?
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about that.
The consultant's name is MSA Associates. They're out of Madison, Wisconsin. But they also have a couple of sub groups that work for them, sub-consultants. One is a specific trail design consultant. And another one is a consultant out of Florida that really is taking a look at this considering this like a national park type facility. They've done it in Florida in a couple places, and that's one of the things that were really interesting with MSA when we interviewed them, mm-hmm. is that they had this ability in-house on their sub-consultant staff to do this type of work. That's going to be important, and that's going to be one of the challenges we'll have, is coordinating these different units of government, different levels of government, from city to county to state, and possibly even national or federal. But we've done that in the past. We have all the Fish and Wildlife Service and things like that around here. So we've got some experience with that ourselves, but hopefully the consultant can help us with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there were any projects that were similar to what you hope the Bluffland project will develop into.
Actually, the one that we looked at that they gave to us was in Kissimmee, Florida. And that is, you know, obviously a very different geographic region, but from the multiple units of government, from the maintenance, from the high level of use that they have adjacent to that urban area, it seemed like it had a lot of similarities.
So let's talk about implementation efforts. You know, what are some of the costs involved in that?
Well, the MVC gives us a really good set of research for that. They have a history of working with landowners to purchase both fee simple title and easements, which is part of that preservation process, part of gaining control of the land through ownership or easements, and that's part of the cost. And then the other part of the cost is obviously construction, putting in infrastructure, whether that be trails or things like that, and then maintenance. And so we'll have to think about all of those things. one of the items of the scope of work of this study is going to be to do some of this financial feasibility, and then we'll have a really good idea of some of the current day costs and maybe future costs so that we can start to budget for what each of those communities could help to chip in, and then other organizations will help also.
Anything to add on the budget note?
Well, we do know that to acquire lands does take a good deal of money. Mississippi Valley Conservancy has a good relationship with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources through the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. So we have access to apply for some of those dollars to help with this program, as we have in the past. And they have the ability to provide 50% of the purchase price if we're to acquire a property. And then there are some other resources for purchasing conservation easements as well.
The other thing that we're doing is we're collecting data on properties that are within this bluffland zone, if you will, that are currently owned by the public. And there are a lot of these properties already owned by the school district or the county or the village or the town. And so it's really nice to start to put together that patchwork or puzzle, if you will. And so we have some gaps to fill, and that's going to be a fairly expensive thing. And at the same time, Carol talked about a couple of funding sources. We're going to have to look for other funding sources because those funding sources have a fairly limited amount of activities that are available. And so if we want some of these other activities available in these properties, we'll have to get the funding from somewhere else so that they can do a little bit more intense activities, recreational activities.
You're hoping to have this planned out in August. What's the next step?
The next step is to get to work. I think the plan will help us with that. Once the plan is done, we'll have a lot better idea of what the next step is, what the priorities are. But, you know, as far as going through this process, we've done a lot of individual stuff. And so the next step is probably going to be finding those things that are easy, the low-hanging fruit. That's the term that comes up in the meeting a lot. So we'll figure that out. One of the things that came up in the public comment period was signage. I think, you know, we all have this cultural heritage from growing up that, you know, my grandpa had his favorite fishing spots. And he'd come to the bait shop and he'd tell them how good the fishing was, and then they'd ask him where, and he wouldn't tell them. You know, that's a little bit of our culture. You know, we have our favorite spots, but I think it's important that we figure out how to get people to some of these areas appropriately, efficiently, and effectively so that they can read the signs, they understand what the signs mean, keep them simple but effective, and do a little bit more signage than what we've done.
Carol, how do you feel like by protecting more of these blufflands, do you think it'll have an effect on looking at protecting other ecosystems or, you know, other conservation projects in this area?
You know, Mississippi Valley Conservancy has a number of priority protection areas. Certainly water and water quality is very important, and most of the work that we do can have some effect on water quality, including the bluffs. Looking at the marsh, the wetland areas, all very important. It all sort of does connect together, and each of these habitats do depend on one another. And then the other thing that is a priority for us is simply farmland, because let's face it, we all love to eat, and we want to make sure that that's probably some of the land that's most at risk for development. So we want to make sure that that land is also available for the needs of future generations for growing our food. So really, it does all connect together. It's all very important in the work that we do, and we are so happy to be a part of that.
And so do you hope that this these efforts will end up attracting more people to the area?
I think there's no doubt that these efforts will attract people. So there's the economic development component of this project as well, because when people come into the area to use these properties, they will probably stop and get gas. They may buy lunch. They may pick up a soda. They may stop and use some of the other retail outlets that are in the area. And that's very important for the growth of this area in Wisconsin as well as in Minnesota.
And our research also shows that this is good for our HR departments. You know, many of our local businesses are looking for great employees. and many of our great employees are looking for a quality of life like what we have here. So, you know, we've really seen in the data that if we work hard on this subject, that we could attract good quality employees to the area.
We've been talking with La Crosse County Planner Charlie Handy and Executive Director Carol Abrahamson of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy about new regional efforts to preserve the Driftless region's blufflands and make them more accessible for public use. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to the Coalition's Bluffland Protection Plan survey. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.